From 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon asked of God in his request, "Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" Those are words from Solomon's prayer, as he requests from the Lord, and quite honestly, a prayer I've asked several times, more lately than ever. But I trust this is a similar prayer that maybe all of you have prayed at some point. Lord, give me proper discernment, a spirit of wisdom. Let your spirit guide our conversations. We frequently ask God to give us proper guidance. And it's a good prayer, as we see from the account in 1 Kings. Yet Solomon had this special privilege in which God himself came to him in a dream, almost like a genie, and asked him to, and said to him, "I will grant whatever wish you have." And Solomon, given an opportunity to ask for whatever he wants, he asks for wisdom, for a discerning heart, for an understanding mind. It's kind of difficult, the Hebrew that is used there, but based on the context, we know that it's wisdom to know good and evil, to rule rightly, to make decisions in a just manner. And he's given this privilege and this blessing from God, and God commends it to him. He loves it because he sees that Solomon asked for this prayer not for riches or for long life or for his enemies to be destroyed, but he asks for something that will be of good use to the nation of Israel, because he's now the king sitting on the throne of his father David, and now he is set to rule, and he understands that he is a young man who has no experience, no idea what's going on, and he needs some guidance. And so he asks of God for this wisdom so that he can rule justly, to do as the psalm says, to love God's law, to live it out, to make the right decisions. And if we know Solomon's story, we see that incident after incident, he's able to provide this great wisdom that comes from God. But if you know Solomon's whole story, his whole history, it's one that is quite tragic. At the same time that Solomon makes this great prayer and he writes multiple books in the Old Testament, 3 books, he builds the temple of the Lord, yet he doesn't get to experience fully God's favor at the end of his life. If you know the story, Solomon goes through with this wisdom and uses this as part of bringing up the United Kingdom of Israel. And he rules in the most prosperous time that Israel has ever seen. And then through his life and through his reign and rule over this, the things of the creation, the things of life, the foreign nations, the wives he's married, the wisdom he himself possessed began to decay his faith in the one true God. In spite of all the advantages that was given before him, he spoke to God in a dream. He received the inheritance of David to have this united kingdom. He even asked of God for wisdom to discern his law, to fulfill his law in the people of Israel. He had all the advantages right there before him, and yet his story is not the story of redemption that we're maybe used to hearing in the scriptures. His story takes a deep turn towards doubt, unfaithfulness, turning to other gods. And then ultimately, we wonder whether he is counted among the saints at the end of his life. And after his reign, The kingdom of Israel is torn in two and becomes the beginning of Israel's troubles as a nation after other nations and nations come and invade them and exile them, and they go back and forth. And it's after his rule that all these things of Israel start going downhill. And so it's hard to hear Solomon's story in its entirety when we are met with a text like 1 Kings that tells us that Solomon prayed for what he was supposed to pray for wisdom and discernment, something we all desperately want, especially as we go through this life. And so what are we to do with this story of Solomon? How are we to understand that the wisest, the most blessed, the most intelligent in all circumstances, the one who embodied the epitome of God's favor and love, and quite literally had it all, how did this one fall so far to even worship other gods? He possessed all wisdom of good and evil. But even in this righteous ability of his, we see that he doesn't quite have it all figured out. Among the characters, Solomon is probably the hardest one to look at and to study, because he doesn't have that redemption story, like I said. But in our reading of 1 Kings, we see the highest point of Solomon's faith that turns into an ugly reality for him in the end. And it's frankly that I'm concerned about for us this day. Because you and I are not so removed from the blessings and privileges of Solomon. For, I mean, we, in a very real way, if you think about it, are blessed with riches beyond what the world has seen. We have access to knowledge and wisdom that even Solomon himself would probably be astonished with. And in a lot of ways, it's right in our pocket. We have access to any kind of wisdom and knowledge that you really want to know, to live through this life. And sure, Solomon was fortunate to be given wisdom by God and a blessing in that way. But we have the tools to acquire such knowledge, to seek out help from the world, to have access to learn and process what we take in and listen, and to, frankly, take the wisdom of others. We have our own advantages. We have our information that Solomon himself did not have access to. And with the right amount of motivation, we can build for ourselves our own kingdom. It may not be our nation of Israel, but it's certainly our property. And with this sort of access that we possess, we can make all kinds of things, all kinds of decisions that not only benefit my profit margin, but help others. We're able to access wisdom to navigate in this world. But we can even access our increase in our knowledge of God. We don't need to just read our Bibles, but we have our Bibles on our phone. Not only just my Bible, but books and articles about God with the proper knowledge of God. And through it, that's all I need. Wisdom of God right here in my fingertips. And it's this sort of reality that's important for us to understand Solomon. Because the most relevant and obvious thing for us is that the issues that came to Solomon's downfall is that human wisdom is not enough to gain the kingdom of heaven. And that Solomon, for all the good he brought to the people of Israel, to rule justly and rightly, to build Israel into a great nation and prosperous people of God, to possess all wisdom, even that noble endeavor did not give Solomon life in God's kingdom. For Solomon did possess knowledge of God. He spoke to him, he prayed to him, and knew where his gifts came from. Solomon believed in God. But over course of time, Solomon lost faith. And it's not that Solomon no longer believed God existed or something, but he no longer needed God because Solomon had all he needed. He didn't need to trust in God to provide because what more could God give to Solomon? And it wasn't something that just happened overnight. But for Solomon, it was a slow decay of faith. And that's the temptation we face every day. Because you and me are in a place that we're incredibly blessed to be a part of, and yet at the same time, we can miss and forget where our gifts come from and who sustains them. Because even though we're dealing with problems currently and things that need to be fixed, you don't really need God because you have all the wisdom you need right in your pocket. Or it's on your computer. Or you can make a couple of phone calls, send a few emails, write a few letters, even send a letter of complaint. You can get it figured out and you can get it fixed. You can go to the doctor for medication and you can go to the therapist for those existential crises. All the self-assurances and self-security you need is right at your fingertips. You can go to the right people for the right answers. And God, sure, he might have his place. I mean, I believe he's real, so I'll fit him where it's convenient and when I need him. And then perhaps over time, you might wonder, why bother? You already know what you need to know. Jesus died for my sins. Awesome. Jesus said to love people. Well, I'll do what I can. God said to live this way and not that way. Well, I'll try my best. The good thing is I know that he'll forgive me. What else do you need to know? I mean, isn't that all I need? I know I'm forgiven and will be saved. What more do I need to know? What's the point? And for some of us, we know that story all too well for those close to us. Because when wisdom and knowledge surpass childish things like God, and some reach such a point that doubts or questions whether God of Solomon and the God of Jesus is the real God at all, or whether there is a God, then we ask, what's the point? Why does it even matter? I have what I need, or at least I have what I care for and what I need to do to fit into my life and to find success. I don't think Solomon's problem is so different from our problems. Solomon, over the course of time, put his faith and trust in things of creation and followed other gods. You see, we think that we lose faith. We think people that have fallen away have lost faith or trust. When in reality, we never lose our faith. We just put it somewhere else. It takes up a different space. So the question isn't where does God fit in my life or why does God matter? The question is, who is your God? Because I'm not here to tell you how the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how the God that Solomon prayed to fits into your story. I'm not here to tell you how the God that Jesus prayed to fits into your life. Because frankly, God can't fit into your life. And he can't fit into your plans. Because human wisdom is not enough to gain the kingdom of heaven. And human wisdom has no need for God. No, the question is, who is your God? Because if it is the God of Jesus, if it is the God Solomon prayed to, then you shouldn't be asking how he fits into your life. But how do you fit into God's story? How do you fit into God's creation? Because no matter how much you want to protest or how much wisdom you possess at your fingertips, this world belongs to God and your life does not belong to you. God doesn't fit into your story because it's not your story. You are fitted into God's story. As Christians, we know that God forgives and He gives us salvation. But we sometimes forget that He gives us new life. And new life transforms us completely. It completely changes our perspective and outlook. For God did not come to this world using the best of human ingenuity or human wisdom to save His people. No, God sent His Son in the most foolish manner to be a child of Mary and Joseph of Nazareth. And it's in this Son of God that our life is brought into God's story. And we are given new life and a new story to be a part of. One that's no longer our own, but one that belongs to who it's always belonged to God Himself. And so today you're brought into Luke's gospel story, following Mary and Joseph. And now we shouldn't be concerned with the things going on, like, why is Jesus running away from His parents? Is He not following the fourth commandment, honoring His father and mother? While those are important things, they have their place, I don't think it's important to what Luke is trying to communicate for us. For my money, I'm more interested in what Jesus was up to the whole time. Why didn't Luke tell us what Jesus was doing for those 3 days as a kid? Was He learning? What was He saying? What wisdom did He gain? But no, Luke, he decides to put us alongside Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph are at the feast in Jerusalem for the Passover. And as we look, we see that on their way home, they can't find Jesus. And it's not until 3 days have passed where they look for Jesus everywhere that they find Him in the temple of the Lord, the same temple where Solomon's temple stood. And it's here Jesus is sitting and listening from the priests, maturing in wisdom, and Himself teaching them. And Mary, as any good mother, says, "Son, why would you do this to us? Why would you make us so worried? We've been looking for you everywhere." And the young Savior's response is what we need to hear today. Why were you looking for me? Why were you looking for me anywhere else? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Why were you looking everywhere else? Did you not know that Jesus must be in my Father's house? While we're blessed to have access to many good things at our fingertips, while we can get to all our heart's desires and live in this life, at the end of the day, it is not enough to give you new life. Only the Creator of life can give true life. And He is the source of all the good things and wisdom that is given to us. Maybe we see ourselves like Mary and Joseph, looking for the right thing in all the wrong places. There's nothing wrong in using human wisdom to benefit in this world. God praised Solomon for seeking such wisdom. The problem is losing the source and putting our trust in things of creation rather than the One who made it. For it's the wisdom of God that we can actually put human wisdom in its proper place. Jesus reminds you what you are looking for, what assurances you can find, for what wisdom, for what knowledge. You find it in the Lord, because that's where He is. And where do you find Him? Well, in the Father's house. Because true wisdom is found in Jesus Christ, because not only in Him and through Him are your sins forgiven and salvation is yours, But it's him you receive new life in his name to live in this world. You are brought into his story to be his creatures, because that's the ultimate blessing, to be God's own and live in his reality. That's who you are. Claimed by God, the Lord of creation, who brought not only the world into existence, but brought you into existence. It's in Jesus Christ that you're put back into God's story. True wisdom is found in Jesus. And it's through Jesus Christ that all the other good and gracious things of creation have their proper place. You and I both know that there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. True wisdom is found in Jesus Christ, and we have opportunities to learn from the Son of God on a regular basis, to know our place in God's story through worship, through our time in Bible class, through our times of fellowship with brothers and sisters of the faith. These are times to grow in the wisdom of the Lord. And it's why we have a building set apart, a special place to grow in that wisdom. And we know that Jesus can be found there because it's where he promises to be with his church. Now, we won't get all the answers to our questions, and we'll still struggle and pray for discernment, for what's best for this course of action, for what wisdom is needed for these events in life. But it's another reason why we have each other to love and support one another. It's a reason why the church is called the body of Christ, because it has many members to support and live in with one another. It's in the presence of God's people and receiving Jesus Christ's gifts that you and I will be shaped and molded to fit into God's story. Jesus is Lord of creation. He has it all figured out and under control. And he claims you to be a part of it, to have a role to play, to be in his story. If only Solomon possessed that kind of wisdom, things could have been different. But Jesus is here in his Father's house, in his church. Let the Lord lavish his truth and wisdom on you. Let him guide your path and receive the grace and promises he continues to give you in faith. And the kingdom will be yours. In Christ's name, amen.